This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's do this. What are the experts thinking of your Houston Texans this week? We power rank the power rankings, an exercise we've been doing since the Lovie Smith years. This is not something that Payne and Pendergast have climbed aboard because people are saying all kinds of nice, flowery things about the Texans, and we're basking in it. We were doing this back when the Texans were being largely ignored or just subjected to stick 'em 31st. How's that sound?
We would get excited about the Texans getting into the 20s.
Yes.
Pete Prisco was our reliable friend in that regard.
He was.
Pete Prisco would just throw us a bone and give us a 29 or a 28.
It felt
great.
It
was nice. Those were the salad days.
Those were. Now, a little different now, man. The Texans are actually hobnobbing with all the big cheeses in the upper reaches of the power rankings. There have only been four that have been dropped so far this morning. NFL.com, as per usual, seems to have more important things to do than put their power rankings out. So we'll go with the four that we've got, and we will start with SI.com, Connor Orr. They are ranked fourth in the – they being SI.com are ranked fourth in our – power ranking of the power rankings. Why? Because they've got the Texans ranked the lowest of any of these outlets. They are a seventh best team in the NFL, according to SI.com. Here's what they have to say, Seth. Seeing how successful the Texans were in terms of EPA per play on rushing downs obviously illustrates the effectiveness of Joe Mixon in this particular offense. The big-bodied, powerful back, who also has receiving skills, was a desire of Houston's all offseason. Now I wonder what they'll do for Mixon insurance down the stretch. Even though Damian Pierce had a nice long run in this game, he's clearly not what this offense wants on a down-by-down basis. Ooh, I don't know about that. I think they want him. I don't know if he is what...
Yeah, whether he is or not.
Yeah, they want him.
Yeah.
I wonder if Kansas City, this is Orr talking, I wonder if Kansas City would be open to downsize and lose any of their backs, or if the Panthers would part with Chuba Hubbard, given that he's a free agent next year anyway. I don't think Kansas City's doing anything to help the Texans. I'll tell them that right now. Kansas City.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's that's something for down the line.
Yeah.
I don't think that the insurance right there at running back, I feel like they are who they are right now.
Yeah. Well, trade deadline's going to be here in a couple of weeks. It's sneaking up on us pretty quick.
So for the indignancy meter, who can you be indignant about being ahead of the Texans there? The Commanders at 4-2 are ahead of the Texans. And then the Green Bay Packers, you know, we get a nice little face off here this week to see. Both those teams are 4-2. The Commanders have that. The Commanders are overcoming the late arriving the dynamic psychologically, and yet it's hard for me not to be impressed with everything that Washington has done.
Yeah, I think on a neutral field the Texans would be favored over the Commanders. On a neutral field I think they'd be favored. The Commanders are very good. That would be the only one that's the only one that I take issue with. Maybe the Packers too, but like you said, we'll know in 6 days who the better team is among those two teams. So we'll know with the Packers We'll know with the Ravens, who are fourth. We'll know with, well, they've already lost to the Vikings, who are third.
Yeah.
They play or have played all five of those top teams that are ahead of the Commanders. It's Texans 7, Commanders 6, and then it's five teams on the Texans schedule. And the only one they've played so far is the Vikings, who they lost resoundingly to, 34-7. Mm-hmm. So, schedule in the second half of the season, man. It's gonna be interesting.
The Lions have the biggest thing they have going for them right now is that it's not like they've faced a murderer's row of a schedule. And they've had some, you know, like they squeaked one out against the Steelers. They squeaked one out against the Rams. They just squeaked, you know, they beat the Cardinals by a touchdown. I guess they've got a couple of the more emphatic wins versus quality opponents. Yeah, like, whatever the Cowboys are, whether they're quality or not, I mean, they just smacked them the hell down last week. And then the Lions over the Seahawks with a convincing victory over them. They've got more quality wins if this was the college football playoff committee than the Texans do at this point.
I would say that, and they've been super impressive in a couple of them, whereas the Texans haven't really been super impressive. Yeah. If it's a beauty contest, biggest question for the Lions, and we're going to get to these other power rankings here in a second. What is life with Aiden Hutchinson or without Aiden Hutchinson like moving forward? I mean, he's their best player, and they just lost him for the season. You know, at an impact position. All right, power ranking of the power rankings. SI.com is fourth. Number three, The Athletic. TheAthletic.com. And they've got one big question for each team. And the big question for the Texans, can Tank Dell step up? Here's what they say. Sunday was a good start, but just a start. Dell caught 7 passes for 57 yards against the Patriots, his highest catch total, and second highest yardage total of the season. The first 5 games had been rough for the second-year wide receiver. His EPA per target is down from last year. But with Nico Collins now injured, Tank Dell needs to return to form. Houston leads the AFC South by 2 games, and the Texans need to start planning for the playoffs. Boy, easy. I think they're a playoff team, but I hate when I see people in week 6 or week 7 saying they need to start planning for the playoff. They were probably saying the same thing about the Jags last year, much further into the season than this. They'll need Dell in peak form even after Nico Collins comes back.
I think that the game, because the Texans had a healthy margin in the entire second half, I'm curious how that game would have gone if they had to be more aggressive downfield, because there were times where CJ had plenty of time in the pocket versus a 4-man rush. I think the Texans have shown a lot of progress in pass protection over the last couple weeks. And there were times where Tank was on a vertical route versus like quarters or cover 2, where it looked like, man, maybe if they'd extended the play longer, they could have taken that shot. And they opted for the safer route, and CJ was getting rid of the ball quickly. I think it's there depending on what the game situation is.
Yeah.
I think at some point in the next few weeks, while Nico Collins is out, you're going to see some deep strikes out of Tank Dell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that last week's game was the first without Nico Collins, but then also it ended up being one where you're playing more preservation mode than anything else. So I'm optimistic we're going to see a big explosion out of Tank Dell.
Yep. All right, next one. The power ranking of the power rankings would be ESPN has the Houston Texans rated fourth in their power rankings. So the Texans are rated fourth. The category this week, or the topic this week for each team, is what's the lesson they've learned thus far this season. DJ Bieniemy writes this for ESPN.com. He's the Texans beat writer. He said, lesson learned, the Texans can win in the clutch. Houston is undefeated in one-score games, as four of their first 5 games, or 4 of the 5 wins, have been within one possession, including 2 on game-winning drives. The Texans showed they could win a nasty slugfest in Week 5 against the Bills. Houston showed it could win a shootout in Week 1 against the Colts. The Texans' defense closed out the Bears on the last drive in Week 2. D'Amico Ryan said the reason for their success is they make plays in situational football.
They make plays in situational football. I think, too, the overall strategy is one that I've learned this from the Bill O'Brien years. So Bill O'Brien, did he remain undefeated when having a lead at halftime?
No.
He did, but his record was pretty lopsided.
It was pretty
right?
good, yeah.
I think that it never... the appropriate strategy and all the conservatism and everything else that comes in maintaining a lead in the second half, it never feels good and it never feels right, and yet it's effective over time. That's where I've tried to learn to have a little humility about it. Like, all right, I got to give these guys the credit of the doubt or benefit of the doubt because they seem to know what they're doing with it. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of that with the Texans where you start worrying more about, like, okay, how do we take possessions away from the other side? What do we do that, you know, first downs are more important than chunks, all this other stuff. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. And yet, I think D'Amico, on the whole of it, over these last 2 years, has done a really good job with it. And sometimes playing the excruciatingly painful conservative style in the fourth quarter, it's the right strategy. It just never feels like it in the moment.
They're really good at it. They're 11 and 3. They're 11 and 3 in one score down to the last minute, down to the wire games. 11 and 3 since D'Amico Ryan's got here. They've won 7 of those types of games in a row.
Yeah.
Going back to last season. So they're really good at it. They do it an exorbitant amount. That's all.
The biggest decision that I know a lot of people still criticize Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans for was last week versus the Bills, passing the ball on third down where you're in field goal position. The penalty ends up knocking them out of field goal position. And the biggest argument for that that still bothers people is the time management side of it. You're trying to take the clock down. I think that for me, it was a 56-yard field goal at that point. Mm-hmm. And I think that you got to balance the chance of credibly kicking a field goal while also, if you complete what should have been an easy pass if somebody had run the right route, either Tank Dell or Dalton Schultz didn't adjust their route the right way on that play. I get it. And it ends up being the worst possible scenario where you lose the down and get knocked out of field goal range. But I don't care who your kicker is, you can't just accept the 56-yard field goal.
No.
Like, it's no big deal. And you're going against a defense that, as Bobby said, they were anticipating zero blitz and they got a zero blitz. With that run game, it's probably a tackle for a 2-yard loss. So it ends up being a 58-yard field goal.
Yep. Last one. In the power ranking of the power rankings. And there's big news. This is a second straight week. Texans third in CBSSports.com, which is first in the power ranking of the power ranking. CBSSports.com has the Texans 3. Devontae Adams is a New York Jet.
Never could have predicted that.
It's expected to get finalized today. I'm literally pulling up Schefter tweets as we talk. I just got a bunch of push notifications. Jets and Raiders are working to complete a trade for Devontae Adams. Ian Rapoport was actually the first one on this. Schefter even gives him credit for it. But I don't have push notifications for Rapoport. Compensation update. The trade for Devontae Adams is expected to get finalized today per sources. It will be a conditional third round pick that can become a second-round pick. I'm guessing, Seth, presumably based on playing time and stats and things like that.
Yeah. So what everybody expected was the most likely outcome ends up being the most likely outcome.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of they've probably been talking this entire time. But remember, this is not Aaron Rodgers being the actual general manager of the Jets. This is just the thing that happened that people have been predicting for a year based on Aaron Rodgers.
It just so happens he's got yet another former Green Bay Packer running routes for him now.
I don't know. I play football. I'm just a quarterback out there doing my thing. And these guys just bring in whomever. No, but it's a good – it's hard to criticize the move, right?
It's a good move.
It makes the most sense, yeah. This is what you should do. You got an aging quarterback. You put your cojones on the table for all of this. You might as well get him a guy that already is on the same page with him. I think this can pay long-term benefits as well, and just can Devontae Adams be a good mentor for Garrett Wilson in getting on the same page with Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers has always been a guy that doesn't like young receivers because they don't have that ESP level of communication with Aaron Rodgers. And that, like, you can see that this year where Wilson's still not young anymore, but this is the first time he's played with an actual NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
And there's some seasoning that he needs that Devontae Adams, even if he's only there for a year or two, can probably leave long-term benefit if Aaron Rodgers keeps playing football.
When he's healthy, Devontae Adams is still, in my opinion, one of the 10 best receivers in football when he's healthy. And I'm guessing his hamstring that's kept him out the last couple weeks has miraculously made a ton of progress in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's got, like, all of a sudden, like, wow, this hamstring feels a lot better looking at this headline on First Take that I'm getting traded to the New York Jets. I think what'll be interesting, especially in it, looking at it, you know, covering a team that just did a similar trade, a very similar trade with Stephon Diggs, very similar. Almost, I mean, you know, compensation in that same range, you know, a day two pick being the premier asset that you're sending over to the other team. Do the Jets do something similar with Devontae Adams' contract that the Texans did with Stephon Diggs? Devontae Adams is still under contract for like two more years after this, but it's at an exorbitant salary that the Jets would be stupid to pay. It's like $36 million a year for each of the next 2 years with not a ton of guaranteed money. And obviously the Raiders are eating a ton of dead money to make this trade on all the bonus money they gave him and everything. That's what I'll be interested to see, because Aaron Rodgers is under contract for another year after this. So do they make this something with Devontae Adams? Do they completely rework his deal to where it's coterminous and now the band is back together again in New York?
My guess is that that's what the last week has been, the last week or two. Ever since, has it been 2 weeks since the official trade request was made?
I think so, yeah.
I'm guessing that that's probably what they've been talking about for the last couple weeks. So we found out with the Texans that the Texans had agreed in advance with Stephon Diggs' contract tweaking. It wasn't like that was. It wasn't like Stephon Diggs, you know, threatened not to show up or something after the trade was consummated.
Yep.
So I'm guessing that there's some kind of contract adjustment has already been made.
Yeah, we'll see. It better be, or else he's done after this year. There, they ain't paying him $35.6 million next year. I don't think they can afford to. You know, they've got a lot of big contracts on that
team. Aaron Rodgers has already taken a pay cut once to try to accommodate bringing in other guys in. Maybe you do that for this
one. Well, maybe for this one, yeah. So that's the big news. Devontae Adams, Raiders.
Oh, wait a minute. The Texans. Oh, okay. Now I made it about us. Oh, yeah. No, I don't like this at all. No, I don't like this.
They're going to play Devontae Adams in 3 weeks. Yeah.
No, I hate this. This is the worst thing that, I hate this.
Does this
make you? I was more thinking about the NFL at large.
Yeah, no. Okay. I mean, I think I know the answer just based on your reaction there. You're more nervous about, and you should be, more nervous about the Jets. Devontae Adams is a good player.
Yes.
Did you feel like the Texans, before this trade, did you feel like the Texans were going up to New York and winning that game in a couple of weeks?
No. Okay. I hadn't handicapped it yet or anything, but the Jets' defense is for real. At least they were when Robert Saleh was in charge.
Yeah.
Then yesterday, they gave up 370 yards or so of offense and didn't look like they were operating as smoothly without Robert Saleh there.
Yeah.
So that's the big question over the next few weeks is, I'm honestly still more concerned about the Jets' defense than I am their offense, but this makes things a lot more interesting.
For sure, yeah, definitely more interesting. Yeah, Raiders, if you missed it, Raiders finalizing deal to trade Devontae Adams to the New York Jets.
You see, the last couple of weeks with the Texans' defense, they've done a really good job in a lot of respects, but it was also against two teams that didn't really have good receiver cores. The Jets are different, and it's not like the Packers. What's that?
They've got two.
Yeah,
good
two
receivers.
Good receivers now. Yeah, so their ability to play man, even when they have Kamari Lassiter there, it'll be really tested with the Jets more so than the last couple weeks.
All right, so we'll circle back to that news. What does it mean to the Texans? What does it mean to the AFC? I'm starting to think too. What does it mean for the Raiders? Is that a roster that GMs that have playoff teams should now be looking at as sort of a garage sale out there in Las Vegas based on no quarterback out there really, and they just traded Devontae Adams?
Yeah. The position that you got to be start looking around for is linebacker, because Henry Toto is injured. We don't know exactly what's going on there, but They might be without their two starting linebackers this next week, and as well as Neville Hewitt played in 30-plus snaps last week, they've not felt great about the other linebackers on the roster up until this point in the season, so that might be something that we see in the next couple weeks, depending on what these injuries are.
Yep. All right, so we'll stay on the Davante Adams. We'll keep an eye out for any more details, but Raiders finalizing a deal to send Davante Adams back with Aaron Rodgers again, and they will be New York Jets. Will Anderson... Big injury in the NFL, wasn't Will Anderson, but a big injury in the NFL shuffles the odds on Defensive Player of the Year. Where does Will Anderson fall on this? I was surprised by this, pleasantly. We'll get to that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
People are making
shotgun. Two receivers each side, one back gets it. Here's the snap to May. He's in trouble. He's sacked back at the 30-yard line. Will Anderson Jr. hat trick.
Is that the hat trick?
Yes, it is. Three on the day for Will.
All right, that was sack number three for Will Anderson. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on that highlight. I'm looking at the news is continuing to roll in on this Davante Adams trade. If you missed it, Davante Adams he's going to be a New York Jet once they finalize this deal. The deal will be for a conditional third-round pick that could become a second-round pick going from the Jets to the Raiders. Adam Schefter tweeted this, and people are kind of making a big deal. The Raiders are not paying any of Davante Adams' remaining salary per a source. The Jets are assuming the balance of it. It ain't that much, okay? Like,
yeah.
His salaries... unguaranteed next year and the year after are $35.6 million. I don't think he sees a penny of that money. I think they'll figure something else out. But for the rest of this year, his base salary this year was $11.2 million. And we're a third of the way through the season. Like, the Jets are assuming like $7 million here, something like that. Like, this is not a, that's, you know, I don't know what the Jets' cap situation is. Maybe this does cap them out for this year or whatever. You know, this is their all-in move. I don't see that as a big deal that the Jets are assumed, or that the Raiders are going to be paying Devontae Adams. Is that what it is? It's, again, the Raiders are not eating any of the money. Okay, yeah, the Jets are paying his salary. Yeah, and he's working for the Jets. That makes sense. Okay.
Right, yeah. No, this wasn't I don't think that it was really about what was the trade compensation going to be. The current salary isn't that big of a deal. It's the fact that he's got a huge balloon payment due in the offseason, and that's where the Raiders had to – they were either going to have to trade him before the trade deadline, or they were going to have to try to trade him with that huge balloon payment coming up, and it made the most sense for them to do it now. The question will really be, have they tweaked the contract? Have they already turned it into a multi-year deal instead of basically this? It's basically an expiring contract in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
I really was waiting to hear weigh in on this, apparently, is Damian Lillard, who must be a Raiders fan.
He's from Oakland.
You said that Raiders fans won't be happy about this. If the Raiders trade Tay for a damn second-round pick, I'm done. That's what he said on October 1st. They've lost. They've lost one. Damian Lillard, no longer a Raiders fan. Yeah, if he's going to be true to his word.
It's only a two if Tay gets in there and does some things, too. Right now, it's a third. It's a third, and he's got to work to make it a two. All right, so let's circle back to Will Anderson. We'll continue with your thoughts on the Devontae Adams trade. That's pretty funny. Someone says, okay, so we're now playing Green Bay twice. Got it. Yeah, playing him in week 7 this week, and we're playing him again in week 9 up in New York.
You got Jordan Love, and you've got Aaron Rodgers, and one of them has Devontae Adams. So it's I'm excited about that. I was already excited about that Jets game, but now especially.
Oh, yeah, it's got juice.
It's depending on what the Jets look like over the next few weeks.
Yep.
And exactly what Devontae Adams can do. I think right now, yes, this makes this a much, much tougher out versus the Jets. And it was already going to be a tough out versus that defense up in New York.
Adams, Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard actually leads football in touchdown catches right now with 5. He's their third receiver. And they've got a nice backfield with Breece Hall and with Braylon Allen. So they've got some players. Someone says, didn't finish the power rankings. I did. I did it abruptly because of the Devontae Adams trade. CBSSports.com was the number one outlet in our power ranking of the power rankings. They have the Texans third. So there you go. Here was D'Amico Ryans earlier this week on the improvements that Will Anderson has made.
Yeah, the transition from standing up to putting his hand down, I think Will he's done a great job of progressing, and I think he feels much more comfortable with what we're asking him to do. Just allows him to use his God-given traits, his explosiveness, his speed, his strength. Like, he's able to use that, I think, even better. You know, from that three-point stance, and he's showing that he's improving upon it. Like, the thing that was impressive about Will yesterday was just him just working his escape. He does a great job with the speed, the power, right, and moving offensive tackles back into the quarterback's lap, but the way he escaped and won on the edge yesterday, that was why he was able to get those sacks.
Yeah, and this is when you know, people try to make the argument that sacks don't matter, this, that. Yeah, they matter. They matter. It's just they're not always the best indicator of how well somebody's rushing. But, like, sacks kill drives. Sacks cause turnovers. Sacks create.
Second and 18 as a defense is better than second and 10 after an incomplete pass.
Yes, pressures are good, and pressures yield interceptions at times, but sacks are great to have. They're not always the best, like, one-season indicator for how well somebody played. But Will Anderson last year was the first guy to say, no, sacks matter, and yeah, it's cool that I'm getting close and I'm getting all these pressures, but you got to be able to finish it off. And that's this year, over the first several games, Will was playing a lot like he did as a young player last year, where he was getting close but no cigar because he wasn't finishing. He wasn't creating separation at the top of his pass rush and just in those last few steps. That's where it felt like in this last game, a lot of the stuff that he'd been working on in the offseason finally kind of clicked. And it's just like anything else, when you're trying to burn something into your muscle memory, it takes a long time to make it natural and to make it quick and for it to just show up on game day. And I think in a lot of ways, he was reverting back to his old style early on and just didn't feel like he could let it loose. I saw more of him just letting it loose this past Sunday. The level of competition matters. That Patriots offensive line is atrocious. But It was a really, really nice step in the right direction.
No doubt. Here's Will Anderson after the game on Sunday on his first ever three-sack game and the mindset he's had this season.
Man, it's a blessing, man. And I just take from last year to this year, like, how I would get down on myself not getting a sack from, like, week one from all the way to week 8, 9. And it's like, now it's like, you just got to keep chopping, man. You just got to keep going and getting better and keep working your moves. And don't be scared to throw moves. I think sometimes last year I was scared to throw moves. And, like, this year, like, man, if it happened, it happened. I think that's just, like, something this year is like, bro, like, it's going to come. Just keep being consistent, keep chopping wood. And it's just a blessing to be able to go out there and do that. But I have to give a big credit to my D-line, man. These guys are tremendous at what they do, man. It's a group, and it's very special, and I love those guys.
Yeah, the kind of the subconscious part of it, of just hitting stuff instinctively and letting it go, it's like any other, playing a musical instrument, learning how to type, like any of that, it's there's a fear factor of just really just letting it go and not thinking about it, and that's where... Because Will is extremely conscientious. Sometimes the conscientious ones are the ones that struggle the most with that. Because you know what you're good at and you know you can do it. It's what you've been doing forever. And sometimes it feels like you're putting it out there to start adding things to the repertoire. And I think that's probably his battle, is just the psychological side of it. Because it's not for lack of working at it or anything else like that.
Do you think we start to see, I'm not saying three sacks every game, but like this is... You know, when J.J. Watt started to ascend in year two, like Will is now, and especially once he got to 2014, like, you know, once he was a couple years in, really, that we started every game, we started, you know, seven tackles, sack and a half, hitting the quarterback multiple times. Do you think this is where, like, do we start to see consistently dominant Will Anderson moving
I think
forward?
Yeah, or at least more often, like more outputs like this, if that's something kind of clicked in him right there.
It's hard
to compare it to, and I know you're not making a direct comparison to JJ Watt, because JJ was, when he was in his MVP seasons, it was one of the most freakishly productive stretches for any defensive lineman in the history of the NFL. Like it was absurd. So I don't want to use JJ as a direct comparison, but yeah, in making that, we see this with the sack leaders over the last 10 years, traditionally, their rookie year, they're not double-digit sacks, and then it's in their second or third year where things just kind of click for them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that there's a very good chance that you're seeing it click for him here in his second year.
He being Will Anderson, is second on the odds board, tied for second on the odds board right now for Defensive Player of the Year. T.J. Watt is number one. Now, Aiden Hutchinson was number one, but he broke his leg on Sunday against the Cowboys, so he's out. Aiden Hutchinson is not there anymore. And the Texans, it's been a weird week for the Texans. Oh, they're not going to see Aiden Hutchinson. I feel bad for him, but one less thing to worry about. Oh, now you get Devontae Adams in week 9, the week before. You know, it's like, that's why you can't, like, looking at the schedule. I did this exercise yesterday, and as I'm doing it, I'm like, this is the most futile thing ever, and yet I wrote like 2,000 words about it for the Houston Press. Like, which games look easier than they did at the beginning of the season, and which games look harder, and it can change with one acquisition or one injury for a lot of these. But Will Anderson, Seth, is tied with Fred Warner at 8-1 for Defensive Player of the Year, behind only T.J. Watt, who's a very heavy favorite right now.
The narratives matter a lot and stuff like this. Like, Will Anderson was helped out last year by virtue of the Texans. I think, honestly, having that play-in game at the end of the season, it was nationally televised and heavily featured there, and it was a team that was on the upswing versus Jalen Carter there. For the Eagles, he started off as the hot slam dunk candidate, and then their defense faltered down the stretch.
Yep.
So narrative matters a lot. I think in terms of narrative for those three players right there, Will Anderson, Fred Warner, and T.J. Watt, you've got the Steelers have the benefit in that they're the Steelers. His name is Watt, and if the Steelers go to the playoffs, it's going to be because they do some really cool things on defense.
Yep.
The 49ers are similar in that regard. I think the Texans, the best thing Will Anderson has going for him is, I think, just still the shiny newness of it all.
Yes.
That Will Anderson is viewed around the league as a guy that he was part of pivoting this whole franchise's future. Him and C.J. Stroud were just the two biggest elements there. So, yeah, I think It's going to be all related to team success. If the Texans disappoint down the stretch, I don't think there's a chance in hell Will Anderson gets Defensive Player of the Year, even if he's got 20 sacks. If they perform really well down the stretch, I think Will Anderson's a slam dunk favorite.
People like Will Anderson, too. And maybe I'm overestimating that because we deal with him on a daily basis here.
You know what we're going to get?
What?
You know what would help the most?
What?
A couple of Nick Saban stories.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that go viral. You know, like down the stretch there, Nick Saban telling a story about Will Anderson that nobody has heard before. Yeah.
You know what would be really good? A McAfee show endorsement for Will Anderson for Defensive Player of the Year by three-time former Defensive Player of the Year and brother of frontrunner T.J. Watt, one J.J. Watt. If J.J. Watt threw his weight behind Will Anderson with his brother as the favorite. That would be a heel turn, huh?
Yeah.
I like that.
What if he goes up? Okay, they'll ask him about that at some point. They'll make it uncomfortable for him and say, okay, TJ versus Will, who's the defensive player of the year.
Ooh. I like that a lot. All right, let's get to, I want to circle back to Dameon Pierce. Someone needs to love you as much as John Harris loved Dameon Pierce's touchdown run on Sunday. Let's give away some Tom Segura tickets right now as well.
Oh!
Pair of tickets.
Can I get them?
No, you can't win. You're not eligible. You can go to the show if you want to. It's at NRG Arena on April the 5th.
If they fire me, I can get them.
Yeah.
Because it's worth getting fired for.
Well, it's April. Boy. You got plenty of time. You got several months to get fired. You got a couple minutes to get fired, actually, if you want to win these tickets. But there's probably some sitting somewhere in an office.
I got to go poop on somebody's desk.
Exactly. Call number 5-713-572-4610. You're going to be on your way to see Tom Segura, comedian, great comedian, NRG Arena, April the 5th. We're doing this all week long here on the show, so Seth, you can get fired sometime this week. Probably still win by Friday if you want to. So stay tuned to Sports Radio 610 for that. Dameon Pierce, John Harris, loving Dameon Pierce, is up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
First half, Texans at the Houston 46, clock at 8 minutes to go, 13-point lead. Here's a toss to Pierce. Running right, Pierce across the 50. Pierce breaks a tackle, 45-40, right sideline. The 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. He's got the touchdown. Dameon Pierce to the house.
That was good to see. Hopefully he keeps that up. We'll hear what it sounded like through the microphone of John Harris in just a second. This is some good stuff. Text message. In the continuation of Pettiness Day, Tuesday is Petty Day here on Payne and Pendergast. Jerry Jones lost his cool on the radio this morning, and it was glorious. That is flooding my timeline right now. Obviously, a texter found out about it. We are going to play that for you momentarily. I'm just giving Ben a couple minutes here to get it pulled up, but I've sent the audio to Ben. We're going to get to Jerry Jones losing his cool in just a little bit.
And we'll play. We've got some extra audio, one from yesterday where Jerry Jones kind of went off on a reporter to ask, and what he said, do you think I'm an idiot? So we'll do a little montage of pettiness tomorrow of Jerry Jones. But that game, oh, by the way, watching the Cowboys-Lions game, that was the first time I've been able to get extended bits of Tom Brady. Extended exposure to Tom Brady as an announcer. And it's funny. At first, I started watching, and at first I was like, is that Greg Olson? Because neither one of them has a great broadcasting voice, but I thought he was making some kind of good Greg Olson-type points. And then I realized, oh, wait, no, that's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I thought, there was one when Branch got the interception. I thought that's exactly like Brady breaking down how Branch got the interception, what he was doing in coverage and everything. That was exactly what I want to hear out of Tom Brady. I thought there were some moments in that game where I was very impressed with the way Tom Brady was breaking it down.
That's good. I'm looking forward to it. We get a few Sundays to watch football coming up here with the schedule with all the primetime games and everything.
Yeah.
You and I don't normally get to really dial in on a Sunday. We got a lot of Texans-less Sundays coming up the second half of the season. I'm excited about that. We'll get to Jerry Jones in a second. I tease this, so I want to get to this. Find somebody that loves you as much as John Harris loved that Dameon Pierce touchdown. Aaron Raybould, one of our engineers up here, who's the engineer on game days for the Texans, left John Harris's mic open and hot at various times throughout the game. Because Johnny's always commenting on things, even when they don't have him pulled up on the broadcast.
Yeah, not hot, but he's recording it. It's not going over
hot
the air.
Hot to the booth.
But he's just,
to the booth. It wasn't going out over the air. But they kept it on and recorded Johnny. This is what Johnny sounded like on that Dameon Pierce 54-yard touchdown run.
Go, Dameon! Yeah!
Holy cow. Now, Johnny's been memed before on the sideline. Like, Johnny gets amped.
You can catch him on the sideline in the background after a lot of big moments with John celebrating everything.
He celebrates like a European soccer player. Like
yes. He's going to take his shirt off at some point.
He will. Yeah. He will. So
that's awesome. Oh, good. We got to do more of that.
Yes.
As long as John Harris is cool with it.
Yep.
I can't imagine why he wouldn't be. We're not going to embarrass him with anything.
No.
We're not going to get him when he's dog cussing out a player or something. Not that he ever does.
No.
But if he does, hypothetically. Yeah.
And if we do get that audio, we'll for sure extort him with it.
We'll use it.
Yeah.
We're just not on air.
Right.
Yeah.
Good call. All right. So we've heard about it. We've not yet listened to this. I only saw 8 jillion tweets about it in the last 5 minutes. So Jerry Jones was on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan. I'm assuming it was Sean and RJ. I believe they're the morning show up there, if I'm not mistaken. And Jerry Jones goes on with them every week. He's got a weekly on there. The owner of the Cowboys, the GM of the Cowboys as well. I guess they were kind of taking him to task or asking him maybe a little too much about the lack of moves in the offseason. Let's just listen in and see what it sounded like.
What's your point?
Let me tell you what I'll do. About it. Let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay? I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
What?
Now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners, and I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. I'm sick about what happened Sunday. Now, I'm not talking to these yahoos on the end of this phone. I'm talking to you, the fans that are listening this morning. And we can spend a lot of time going over zigging and zagging. One of the stupidest things I've ever done that anybody has ever analyzed is by the Cowboys. It was an idiot that did that. So idiot things can turn into good decisions. Okay? Smart things can turn into bad decisions. The facts are that when you make one, you don't really know whether it's going to be good or not at the time. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Okay. The headline, the caption across the bottom of First Take right now, Jerry Jones calls out radio hosts during interview.
He threatened their jobs. He basically was saying, I'm going to get you fired. That was awesome. Those guys, okay, how do we judge Sean and RJ's response to it?
Did they talk at all? They hardly talked.
Right. They started to. I think they're trying to. I've listened to them before where they try to be respectful, but they do ask hard questions. And obviously, they asked a question that elicited that response. I think that, like, Jerry Jones does not shy away at all from getting combative with those guys. And I don't think he's going to have any of them fired. I don't think any one of them felt like they were being, like, actually in danger of losing their job.
No.
But I was trying to put myself in their shoes. I don't know exactly what Jerry was asking for. I mean, like were they supposed to start, like, bring out the spreadsheet with the balances of, like, oh, the positive moves versus the negative moves?
Yeah, I don't
moves?
Know. That's where not hearing the question that led up to that hurts a little bit, yeah.
The other thing, too, is, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Since he's been GM, they've won 5 playoff games this century.
Right.
They haven't made it back to the conference championship since their last Super Bowl victory. It's been 30 years of insignificance as a franchise.
Yeah.
And... like, that's your proof in the pudding. If you want the balance sheet, yes. As a general manager, you've been really good at generating business and really bad at actually getting results on the football field.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I'm your manager, and I'm evaluating your performance, do I need to sit here and make excuses for all of the incompetence and the insignificance over the years? Or at some point, do I just say, okay, you haven't produced. You just haven't produced as a general manager.
He was, I mean, I obviously don't listen to every Jerry Jones interview on there. I've heard many of them. Many of them we've played audio on this show. Jerry Jones is a very charismatic, entertaining, and certainly highly relevant individual in the NFL. It sounded like to me, to answer your original question, Seth, about Sean and RJ, and what it sounded like with them, is that Jerry's gotten combative with them before, but it's always remained at a playful level with them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They is what I gather. Again, I don't listen to all the interviews or whatever, but they weren't punching back in a way where they were argumentative with him. They were almost laughing a little bit at the whole thing. And Jerry kind of put his foot down and said, I'm not joking around. You know, yeah. The issues they're having at home right now, playing well, not even playing well, like playing even mediocre at home. They've been awful at home this year. And really going back to the Green Bay game last year in the playoffs, they've been terrible for 4 straight games now at home on big stages, and it sounds like he's getting to his wit's end with it is what I'm hearing there.
The actual stat was even worse. They've won 5 playoff games since 1996.
Since they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, since then, and they've never made it past the divisional round.
Yeah.
And they've had just meager success. I mean, those are your positives and negatives there. The sum total of all of your decisions over that time is that you've been a bad GM. And it feels like this is the first year where, like, people in Dallas are actually catching on to it.
You know who
like
else?
Like, even delusional Cowboys fans are like, hey, wait a second. Hey, guys realize we actually haven't been a good football team for a long time?
We kind of suck. This is weird. You know who else has won 5 playoff games since 1996? The Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so take that, Jerry. I'm glad this
expansion team and it doesn't, you know, a fan base that doesn't hold itself like they are they understand right. and know the NFL because of our great franchise.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm using it to jab at Jerry right here. I'm glad. Yeah. This is serendipity right here that our co-host, one of our co-workers and one of the hosts on In the Loop is Reggie Atatula, who was at 105.3 The Fan up
That's
in
right.
Dallas.
Yeah, I've already had some text messages this morning,
if you might
imagine.
The very station where Jerry is making headlines right now. So I am very curious your reaction. Have you heard? Did you listen to the audio yet?
I've listened to some of it. I've seen some.
We just played the whole 2 minutes.
Yeah,
just now.
Yeah. I mean, and you say 2 minutes. He does this twice a week interviews, and he's
twice a week.
Yeah. The owner and general manager speaks on the local radio station twice a week.
That's beautiful.
And then that's in addition to the twice a week that Stephen Jones, the executive player, VP of player
very
personnel,
front-facing.
Whatever. Very front facing.
Yeah. Does he have the power? Or I mean, if he wanted to, he could. But, like, do you think he actually is going to try to get one of those guys fired?
Nah, okay. I don't think he will. Although, look, I've gotten out of the business of trying to predict what Jerry Jones will and won't do because he's made me look stupid many a times at this point. No, I mean, he's clearly he can fly off the handle like this from time to time, but this is a real clear indication that he's embarrassed.
Right? Yeah.
Like, Jerry Jones, he says that he has a high tolerance for ambiguity, and, like, he's not as freaked out as I think the average person would be in places that are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
This is a different level, right? Yep. For him to go to this level, he understands and he appreciates the fact that the fan base has gotten to a fever pitch. And Seth, I hear what you're saying. Them folks have not light rock with him for a long time. I have gotten tired of hearing Jerry the owner should fire Jerry the GM. They are done with him. They just can't do nothing about it
because
he's not going to do it. And he usually operates within that comfort level of, I know that y'all can't do nothing about it, so y'all can talk. That's cool.
Yeah.
The fact that he's actually reacting to the talk, he knows. Yeah. He knows he done messed up, Bubba. He knows.
Yeah. Man, we don't get enough of this anymore.
Oh,
back
well,
in the day, you used to get a lot more chippiness. You know?
We used to get a lot of chippiness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you're saying, the game is too nice now?
We're talking about us.
Just like the NBA, the radio game is too nice. We need to find the radio equivalent of elbows in the sternum.
Seth, do you think we can get Nick to threaten us tomorrow when we have him on at 7:30?
The closest we've come, like Nick and I have gotten, we've kind of gone back and forth a few times, but it stays pretty playful.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything right now that's like all that glaring that we'd probably.
They're 5-1. I mean, what do you.
Yeah.
So
there's not any like obvious busts or anything.
I bet you could do it.
To. Oh, no.
You might be able to do it, Lopez. That's one thing.
I've already been threatened.
Yeah. Tom Herman was probably the last episode we had like that.
He had no power.
No, I know. All right,
everybody tweet me suggestions for what I should go after Nick about, like the most, and I'll brainstorm this, what's the most egregiously bad or wrong thing over the last several years that I'm just going to be irrationally obsessed
there
with.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. Well, big day between that and Davante Adams getting traded.
How about that?
How about Jerry Jones Farrah Fawcetting Davante Adams right there?
I mean, he does love a headline, don't he?
He does, and he's got him, man. He's got him. All right, Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you, and the Cowboys do lead the NFL by a wide margin in paid attendance right now.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones is doing just fine as general manager. By his scorecard.
That's right. It's got quite the party going up there. All right. We are done. We are out of time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.